My message today is going to be called, and we've talked about this so many times, but I thought we'd better make a message out of it. What time is it? We talked about it so many times in our Bible studies and our Sunday school, and even at home, we're probably looking at the clock. What time is it? We're looking at our clock now. What time is it? When is she going to start? When is she going to stop? So I call it this. What is snagging you? What is snagging you? Snagging you. So you can look at it two ways. Something that's snagging you or nagging you. When Tom was in Vietnam, there's a bush called the Wait a Minute Bush. And the reason why it's a Wait a Minute Bush is because the guys will be tromping through the forest or the woods, or the jungle, not the forest, it's a jungle. And they would go, wait a minute, because they got caught up in this vine. And the vine, if you pull too hard, gets into your body and skin and starts to rip into your skin. So you have to back off, slowly pull it off your body, wait a minute, as you're pulling it off. So that's what's called a wait a minute. So sometimes we get caught up in life like that, don't we? Something's just nagging you. Something's pulling on you. I want to show you something. I have a bag of tricks. Remember Mary Poppins? She had that big carpet bag?
Yes.
I got one. Okay, so I am going to just demonstrate a few things with you today because visuals mean a lot. This one is my rope. Now, how many of you feel like you're all tied up in knots? Some of us just feel like we're just all tied up in knots, or just you can't go forward, you can't go back, but you're tied up. Or you're at that bush. Wait a minute, hold on, I got to catch up with you in a minute. So what God wants us to do today is identify where these knots are, because He wants to unravel your life. He wants you to have this wonderful, straight line so that when He talks to you, you're going to hear clearly instead of through the knots. I just wanted to give you that visual for this moment. This representation also shows me that it causes us to come into knots like this when we either get ahead of God, we get after God, we're late, or we don't do anything at all. That's how you come up with all these knots. Think about it in your life. When you got snagged somewhere, you either got ahead of God, you did it yourself, or you went too fast. I'm a fast person. I know Gloria back there will say, Linda, slow down. Because I do. I'm a fast-paced person. My last name, my name growing up, and it was my maiden name, is Gonzalez. So what do you expect? I'm Speedy Gonzalez. Okay, so that's what it is. And then you have, remember this. I don't know if you remember the old Chinese cuff, handcuff. When you put your fingers in and the more you pull, the harder it takes to get out. So I want to share something with you today. Stop pulling. Say, wait a minute. Let me get untangled. Help me. Come along. But what happens is when you release it, your fingers can come out. So these are things I'm just showing you because they're important to understand how we can get snagged. And I'm going to teach you in a minute what that means. Now, when you're doing laundry, has anybody ever done this? Everything gets snagged on something in your dryer. And you're on there trying to unravel and untangle. That's what our lives feel like sometimes. We just feel all tangled up in knots. We need to discern, though, if it's a snag from God or a snag from the devil, from the enemy. Let's look at Satan's snags for a second, because you got to know both good and evil to make a decision. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. What are his devices? Unforgiveness, bitterness, fear, anger, doubt, unbelief, jealousy, rage, wrath. All of the things that are not God are the devil's snags. He says, don't be ignorant of them. When you see you working those, you better stop and say, who's my daddy? Who am I serving? That song that goes, you're going to serve somebody, it may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. So we have to decide in that moment, who are we serving when we get snagged? What is holding you up from being your best? What is holding you back from doing what you know God wants you to do? Your fear? Someone else's fear that's upon you. Unforgiveness, maybe some regret. Kenny Rogers had it right when he said, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to walk away. That's exactly what we have to decide. Look at God's snags. Sometimes God catches us for us. Get this, Genesis 22:13. A ram was caught up in the branches, so Abraham would offer it up instead of his son. Sometimes we have to see if God's snagging us. Maybe he's going, hold on a minute. If you step out to the left a little bit, you might get squashed like a bug. My husband and I ride Harleys, and years ago I was on the back, and there was this curve, and there was construction, but you didn't know it until you got around the curve. The cones were there. Well, Tom decided he was going to pull around, but pull way over to the side onto the embankment on the dirt. If he did not, we would have been squashed like a bug because there was a truck full of people barreling around the side and had to screech to stop to not hit the car in front. We would have been goners. But Tom knew something God told him to move over. That's God snagging him to the side. I'm going to show you something. This is God's staff. And sometimes he takes it and goes, a little bit here, and then he'll go, he'll poke you, because this is his, but it comforts you when he does it. He doesn't hit you over the head with it. He just gently goes, That's what I want to leave with you today. He is going to hook you and bring you back, or he's going to prod you to push you forward. I don't remember anywhere in the Ecclesiastes chapter 3 where it tells them, it says, a time to die, a time to live, a time to mourn, all that. It doesn't say a time to sit down and twiddle your thumbs. It's not there. Because even when you're waiting on God, you're doing something. You're in faith. You're not just eating potato chips and watching television, which I like to do once in a while. But we are told to constantly be moving. We are to go and do, the Bible says. Go and be. What does go mean? It means to move. So if we're not moving, we're going to gather moss. And not the right kind of moss. So we need to keep it rolling. And that's what I do. And I don't know if you know this by now with me. I'm a mover and a shaker, and I keep rolling. And I'm praying with all my heart that I do not roll over anybody. Because if you become a steamroller, you can actually do that. So forgive me if I have ever done that right now from this pulpit. That is not my heart's desire. I want to give you God's timing, because we're talking a little bit about timing, because he'll say, okay, no, not yet, yes, do that, yes, do that. Let me show you something. This is God's clock. No hands. Have Tom take the hands out. Because the only way we know what time it is when the Holy Spirit tells us what time it is. Because if we try to do things on our own, we're going to have, okay, at 2 o'clock I'm going to do this, but what if at 2 o'clock somebody gives you a phone call and you have to run to the emergency room at 2 o'clock when you wanted to do something else? So God's timing and his hands are totally different than what we think it is going to be. So I just want to give you a visual that God's timing is way different than our timing, and I'd rather not put any restrictions on God's hands, right? Let's let him do his thing. And I like it when Butch would say that wisdom is knowing what time it is. And if you need help in wisdom, James 1:15 is your answer. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, all, not just a few elect, gives him all men liberally and does not hold back, and it shall be given him. Does anybody need more wisdom here? I know I do. I could use more so that I know what God wants me to do. Isn't that one of our questions? What do you want me to do, God? When you wake up in the morning, okay, Lord, this is my day. What do you want me to do? Here's what he shows me. We need to cooperate with God. We're going to be doing some things, and he wants to join us. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to look at God for a moment. Where is he? We talked about this in a couple of Sunday school lessons. Where is God? Yes, people said he's all around. But when Daniel saw him sitting on his throne. It says this in Daniel 7:9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. God is sitting. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, I really like that passage because it looks like he likes to ride motorcycles. He's sitting on a chair that shoots out flames behind. So even though he's on the throne, I believe it moves. He's like all over. As a matter of fact, it says right here, Psalm 33:14, from his habitation, he looked upon the earth. And I just read this today in Zechariah 4:10. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes, not his body, not even all over, you know, his eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. Zechariah 4:10. So that's where God is. He's in heaven sitting on his throne, because if he was running over there, he would miss that over there. So he's got to stay in position. He's always looking at us, but he is everywhere because he sees everything. Our times are in his hands, Psalm 31:15. So where is Jesus? A lot of kids, when I was growing up, you know, you ask Jesus into your heart. Well, that's good for children to let them know, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He says, if you say he's here, don't believe him, the Bible says. He says it's going to come in the clouds when every eye shall see him. So right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Saying, hey, remember, you forgave them for that, you know, God, you know. So he's right there helping us. So where is the Holy Spirit? He's who lives within us. When we've accepted Christ as our Savior, matter of fact, we talked a little bit about the Lord of hosts in our Bible study. When you accept Christ as your Savior, don't even just make him your Savior, you make him your Lord. He doesn't just save you, now you serve. You save to serve. It says in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Ephesians 4:30 says, he seals us. He puts a seal, a stamp of approval on your head, and you're his forever. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I told you. So when I'm sharing things with you, I had a pastor tell me one time, and it was in a meeting like this, and he just says, I'm going to share something with you, and I hope that you remember it. So I'm hoping today that when I share things with you, and I've worked all week on these messages, that you take a little something home with you today. I'm believing that for every person here. Our ways are not God's ways. And I'm going to show you something and have another last visual. I went into my husband's man cave. If you ever come over, I'll share it with you one time. But I said, you know, when I teach a message, I always come up with some kind of props. But I bet if I can grab something, I could probably make a message around that item. So I'm looking around in his room, and this was just sitting on a shelf. I pick it up, I don't know what it is. It says, later. Exactly, he laughed. Because he knew that whenever I ask him something, he'll say, I'll do it later. Yeah, he says, I will do it later. That's his timing. Most to the men that I know that always want to do it later. I want to do it today, not put off tomorrow what I can do today kind of mentality. I'll tell you why, because this week I was sick, I said, and for 3 days I couldn't even, my eyes were crossed. You know, I could only read my scripture for the day and go back to bed. Well, if I didn't prepare the message on Monday, which is normally not my norm, it's during Wednesday that I do it, I would not have been ready. So God knows His timing in my life. Even though I have a schedule, He fixes it. The Bible says that I plan my ways, but the Lord directs my steps. So you can plan, make your schedules, but here's the thing, leave margin. What that means is don't fill yourself to the brim that you can't modify it if somebody knocks on your door. If somebody needs you to just sit with them for a while. If somebody needs to talk to you because they're hurting. Oh, I can't talk right now. I'm in the middle of making dinner. You know, that's true. That happens. But I can make dinner and talk at the same time. I don't know about you. I can do a couple things at the same time. Or I'll say, let me call you back in 5 minutes. Something that you're not putting them off. Have margin in your schedule. You make your schedule. You can change it. Nobody makes your schedule for you. We have to cooperate with the Lord. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together. In other words, let's talk about this, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So what I'm getting from this is, come now, let us reason together. I want to communicate with you kids. I want to talk to you about a few things. This week, I think I was hard-headed this week. That's why I ended up not feeling well, because I wanted my own way. Anybody ever want your own way? And you get in trouble. Well, I got in trouble because I got my own way. And I, you know, Tom always says, you're just hard-headed. Well, God has to take me sometimes with this and go, oh. It doesn't hurt really bad, but He chastises those He loves. And boy, does He love me. I'll tell you. James 1:22 says, we are to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Because you go, you look in a mirror and you know everything that's going on, then you walk away and forget everything you just heard and saw and felt. He says, no, you want to be a doer of the word. Go and do. Be. Jesus went about doing good. So that's what we are to do. Let's talk a little bit about procrastinators. Because they got a timing, don't they? Procrastinators have a timing. It's later. I really wanted to put a bunch of papers in here. You know? Because if you have a bunch of stuff for later, you're never going to get to it. It's going to be too much. You want to go to bed and put the covers over your head. That's all I know. So what are we waiting for? We're either going to go on ahead, we're going to either wait, or we're not going to do it at all. I like this quote Tom said to me when I was preparing this message. He came up with this. The more you wait on God, the more you blame Him for stuff. I mean, that's just coming from His heart. It's true, because sometimes we go, okay, well, I've been waiting, God. Where are you? And yet He's saying, excuse me. You know how to do that. I'll be with you when you go do it, but you better get up and do it. When somebody is going to get a job, what do they do, sit in their living room and just watch television? No, they go out, they send out applications, but God prepares the hearts of those receiving those applications. Very rarely does somebody knock on your door and say, I got a job for you. And I've had that happen with blessings. Somebody would come over, knock on the door and said, I made this for you. I just felt the Lord wanted me to have, you know, to give this to you. Many of you have experienced it. Somebody will knock on the door and say, is there something that I could do for you? Should I pray for you about something? The Lord brought me here because He loves you, and He told me you needed something. Now, we listen, we're going to follow those things. So we're going and doing. That's God's timing, isn't it? He makes a way. Okay, preparing these messages. I'm telling you the truth here. And I'm always telling the truth because that's what I do. But when I prepare a message, I always say, I can't do this anymore. I don't know if anybody can relate. I just don't think I've got what it takes, Lord. I say that almost every week. And every time I say it, that's when he shows up. After I put myself aside. Then he does the message. So when I get up here, I'm not all confused and worried and wondering if anybody's going to like me or accept my message because it isn't mine. So I can't get upset or worried about it. So that's what happens when people share their heart. They're speaking from the Lord. I want to look at the scriptures really quickly. We have a few minutes here. Haggai 1, 2 through 8. Okay, now Haggai, I'm sorry, I have to look at my thing, 741. Normally I have it picked off. 741, should have known, I just finished reading it. Haggai 1, 2 through 8. This is a great story. Okay, put you down, staff. Okay. I'm going to read just that passage. 1, 2 through 8. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time. They're like, I don't want to do it. He's going, oh, yes, you do. It's time. Oh, you dwell in the sealed houses, and your house and my house lays to waste. Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none to warm. And he that earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. Sometimes we need to take a look at ourselves. It says, consider your ways. If any of this is happening, if you're like, I'm trying to save, but everything always eats it up. I save for this, and then an emergency happens, and I got to give it to that. Sometimes we just feel like there's just holes in our bags of money. We need to consider our ways, and I'm just giving you some hard stuff here. Consider your ways. Ask God, is it time? What is it time for, Lord? Am I missing something here? Stop for a minute and ask God, am I supposed to do something right now? Tom and I went on a trip down to the Bay Area. And we didn't know why we were going. We knew we were going to be ready for something. We didn't know what was going to happen. We knew God was going to use us for something. We were ready. That's what God wants for each of you. He wants you to be ready, listening, keen into the Spirit. So we're walking down this walkway, and I heard a... It was a huge branch just about ready to break. And so we're like, that's our call. We need to tell somebody. So we went and got a maintenance guy. He came up, put a big old partition around it, and sure enough, the thing cracks. We drove all the way to the Bay Area for that appointment. Are you ready and willing and open to receive what God wants you to do, even in what you think isn't important, but in it, he's doing something. He's using us. He's using you. And he's going to snag us like he snagged that tree. He snags us in our lives. He says that it is not time to build the house. It's not time, Lord. It's not time. And he's going, yes, it is. And this is what's the good news. This is what really is amazing. In verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the houses of the Lord of hosts, their God. Once I acknowledge that I didn't want to do that thing, whatever it was, that's when the Lord stirred up my spirit to be able to do it. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. But we have to go to him. Lord, tell him the truth. I don't want to do it. And then he'll go, okay, good. Now let's do it. I love it because he always changes my mind. Have you ever had to go get the oil changed in your car? Isn't it a lovely experience? So I'm having this engine light keeps coming on. Okay, I'll do it. If I don't do it now, I'll have to do it tomorrow. I might as well go do it. So I get over to the place in Jackson, get my oil changed. I get in line. And I mean, I've got excitement now. Oh, I'm going to get it done. Yay, I feel good. Before I was fighting it. I get in line, and it's like too long of a wait for me. So my patience was tried right at that moment. I failed miserably, and I left. I did not get an oil change, and I still need an oil change. But what I'm saying is that sometimes God gives us the time to do it, but we don't want to do it, even when He makes a way. That's just our human nature. Then we go, oh, I get to do it another time. Even in the message this morning, David was to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, but he failed the first time, but he did it again and brought it in the second time. So when in doubt, ask the Lord. I always say when in doubt, don't. That's my way of doing things because that's walking in peace then. But so the Spirit talks about this in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7. Not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. Everything we do is to be done through the Spirit of the Lord. I remember when I wanted to marry a movie star. I didn't want to marry Tom. I wanted to marry a movie star because I wanted to live in a beautiful house. And I knew a lot of movie stars. And I wanted to go and live there. I know the lifestyle. But then God had other plans. See, my plans are not God's plans. And my plans were not great because I've been married several times. So obviously something's wrong with my picker. All right? But God chose Tom for me. And wow, 31 years later. Of course, after 13 years, he said, oh, finally, it was worth the wait. Because it took 13 years for me to decide that I wanted to be married. Seriously, I'm stubborn. Is anybody stubborn here? All right. My choices weren't all that great. Now let me show you how Tom sees me. And this is why we work. Tom sees me through the cross. I took a picture of this in the kitchen, 20 years ago. And I don't know if you can see it. I'll put it up here. You can take a look. But it's a little coin, and in the coin is a cutout cross. And he was looking at me through it in the kitchen. And I said, and I just melted because He loves me through the cross. So what is tripping you up? What is snagging your life? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it jealousy? Is it, God, you know, I thought you loved me, but maybe you really don't. So there's a lot of these heart issues. Matter of fact, we talked about in Bible study today. God looks at our heart, not at what's going on the outside of us. So what's really going on? Remember last week I talked about this church being a hospital? Well, just let the bats out of the belfry here so that they're not flying around out there. People want to have what you have. And if you're walking around out there with all these bats flying around, they're not going to want to come near you. But if you go out there in that peace and that joy, knowing that your times are in God's hands, that wherever you put your foot, He will direct your path. Now we're walking. Now we're talking. We're talking the walk.